A few years ago, at a Unitarian Universalist Association's General Assembly, a member of the study group known as the UUA Commission on Appraisal, which was at the time studying theological diversity among Unitarian Universalists, asked people to stand as he read from a list of our differing theologies. So he said to this gathering of several thousand, "Are you a UU humanist? If so, would you stand?" Then he said, "Are you a theist? If so, stand. A UU Christian? Please stand. A pagan? Please stand. An agnostic? Please stand." So he went through a whole list of theological points of view. And I found myself wanting to stand several times because I identify with many of the traditions that he mentioned. In some sense, I felt like an all-of-the-above Unitarian Universalist, hence my title for today's sermon. But I admit, that's too easy. It's a cop-out just to claim that all of the above speak to me and therefore I am all of them. True, we Unitarian Universalists generally tend to hold the best of all religious and philosophical traditions in a wide embrace. And we tend to eschew labels as being too limited. A few years ago, I found this cartoon, which I think is a very apt one. It's circulated in a number of UU publications. There's no author on it. But in this cartoon, there's a party going on or gathering. People are standing around holding drinks, and there's one ma'am who comes up to another and says, "So, bud, what are you practicing these days? Islam? Hare Krishna? Christianity? Judaism? Est? Hinduism?" And the other fellow says, "I don't like to label myself like that. I think it's too confining." And the first guy then says, "Oh, Unitarianism. I'm happy for you." That pretty much says it. Although I somewhat flippantly chose a broad and all-embracing title for today's sermon, I don't want to leave you with the impression that I don't actually land somewhere in my faith. Because I do take a position. I do stand somewhere on the faith spectrum. And that is what I'd like to share with you today. I do this in part to get you thinking about your own theology, if you will, what it is for you, what speaks to you. But I do this in personal form because I learned a little bit about this from all of you last fall when I conducted the various cottage meetings where we came together and explored some issues. You may remember that the very first one that I asked you to line up for, physically line up for, is humanist on this side, theist on this side, and anywhere along the continuum, if you can call that a continuum. And I discovered, not to my surprise, because this is really true in all of our Unitarian Universalist congregations, that there are people all along the faith spectrum, humanist to theist, somewhere in between, and some people stood outside the line altogether in very UU fashion to describe themselves as not even fitting into any of those boxes, which, again, pretty much always happens. So there is theological diversity among you sitting right here today. That's really what we're about. If you look closely at the grammatical structure of my sentence, of my title, not a sentence but a title, you may notice that all the self-descriptions cluster around and modify one word. That word is, can you see it?
Theist.
So I'm a mystical theist. I'm a humanistically inclined theist. An agnostic theist. I'm a theist who loves Jesus and a theist with pagan tendencies. I will later unpack what these modifiers mean, But I first would like to share with you what I mean by describing myself most centrally as a theist, as one who believes in something that I can comfortably call God. There are, of course, many Unitarian Universalists who are uncomfortable with the word God, and there are many who describe themselves as atheists, those who disbelieve in God. When I hear people describe themselves as atheists, I'm tempted to ask, which God is it that you don't believe in? If the God they don't believe in is the traditional old man with a long white beard sitting on a heavenly cloud who watches over and judges each one of us, then I emphatically disbelieve in him too. If the God they are denying is one who is jealous and vengeful, one who requires exclusive worship and specific ritual, one who plays favorites and who answers individual wishes and selfish prayers, please let my team win. Please let my number come up in the lottery. Please let me be among the few who make it into your kingdom. Then I too am an atheist with respect to this God. The poet Carl Sandburg once declared, if I believed, as many do, that God was the man upstairs, I'd be an atheist for sure. The man upstairs always comes in late, slams the door, kicks off his shoes, and makes noise, and I don't believe in that. Well, Sandburg hit the nail on the head when he said that the man upstairs always comes in late. Where was this supposedly all-powerful man upstairs at Auschwitz, at Iwo Jima, in Nepal when the earthquake hit? Any God who is all-knowing and all-powerful but does not intervene to stop the intense suffering of the innocent cannot be all good. He is the embodiment of the phrase, too little, too late. The traditional God, the man upstairs, the one many of us have been taught to believe in and be afraid of as children, is way too small for me. I am able to say I am a theist because my current God is much, much larger than this judgmental old man in the clouds I once believed in. The God I can say I now believe in lives inside me and inside you and inside every particle of this vast universe, yet is more than the sum of its many parts. This God does not control the universe. This God does not choose which nation or which basketball team will win out over the others. God is the creativity of the universe, always emerging into new forms as the universe evolves. In this God-infused universe, the future is free and open and full of potential, not controlled or predetermined. Each of us, at every moment, with every action we take, affects the whole and contributes to the direction of the universe. We are therefore co-creators with God, as modern theologians of the process school have suggested. I usually say it rather than he or she when referring to this God, because personal pronouns conjure up limiting images of God. I realize that nowadays some Unitarian Universalists use the feminine personal pronoun to refer to the ultimate. But while I find all the rich imagery of ancient and modern goddesses fascinating, and I find the goddess to be in some ways a warmer and more embracing metaphor for the divine than the angry old Yahweh of Scripture, the pronoun she still feels too limited for me. Too anthropomorphic, or rather, too gynomorphic. So I am reduced to referring to God as it. It is not really adequate either. That genderless pronoun is too impersonal. And the God I now believe in is intimately, deeply personal. The most personal thing there is, because it resides within me. When I listen to its still, small voice, the best that is in me is called forth. The part of me that can reach out to you. The part of me that can love without condition. The part of me that can feel the pain of social injustice and the poverty of our alienation from other living things. The part that wishes to act to help correct these wrongs. The part that can appreciate the beauty of art, poetry, music, and the natural world. The part that strives toward creativity and growth. This is the God within. Although the God I believe in is deeply personal, it is also universal, because this same creative force resides within each one of us. It connects us to one another regardless of the boundaries we humans try to construct among ourselves, and nation by nation, and tribe by tribe, person by person. It transcends all boundaries and connects us to all people, to all of life, to all of existence. It is a presence, a motion, a spirit, as the poet Wordsworth said, that rolls through all things. Rolling seems to me to be an apt metaphor. God is active and dynamic, a verb more than a noun. It is the creative power and momentum of an evolving universe, a dynamic spirit that is always in process, always striving, always unfolding. As process theologians have said, the universe is God's body. That body is changing from moment to moment. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that God is clothed in the flowing robe of events. God, in this active sense, is not an endpoint or goal, not some final answer to the mystery of the cosmos. Rather, God is the inspiration for the search, the hunger within us to discover and to grow, the impulse to praise and to celebrate the mystery. And this brings me around to one of the modifiers of my theism, the mystery. Albert Einstein, who sought to crack the hard nut that is the universe, to see what binds it together and makes it work, proclaimed that the mysterious is the most beautiful thing we can experience. I am an agnostic theist because I believe that at the heart of existence is the great mystery. The word agnostic is taken from the Greek agnosos, knowing, nosos, plus the prefix ag, which means not, or negates the word, so it's not knowing, literally. Despite what scriptural fundamentalists assert, whether they be Christian or Islamic, or even confirmed atheist fundamentalists who look upon all scripture as error, I believe that no sacred book, no religious tradition, or rationalistic scientistic philosophy can answer all questions for all time. It is not given to us to know for certain the answers to the ultimate questions. The questions that I call window ledge questions, because as a child, I used to literally sit on a window ledge into the wee hours and gaze at the stars, pondering them, pondering such vexing questions of existence as, what is the true nature of reality and of God, if indeed there is a God? Why is there matter? Put another way, as a philosophy professor once posed to us, Why is there not nothing? Think about it. Why is there something? Where is the edge of the universe? How and why did it all begin? And how will it end? Or will it end? Some years ago, I came across a little book put together as a fundraiser by a Unitarian Universalist congregation in Pennsylvania. It was called The Coloring Book for Religious Liberals. This is at a time when there was a coloring book for this and that and everything. It was a popular kind of thing in the media. So this was The Coloring Book for Religious Liberals. In this book, Unitarian Universalists, condensed to Univarians, are lovingly described using the comic spirit. And there's one page that has always stuck with me. It shows a large loose-leaf notebook, and the caption says, "This is a Univarian Bible. Color it loose-leaf, because you use believe that all the facts aren't in yet." I'm an agnostic theist because I have to admit that all the facts in my little garden of truth are not in yet, and I suspect that they will never be. I must live with ambiguity and doubt. I do believe in the God that I just spoke about, but I also realize that I could be completely wrong. And even if my version of theism does resonate with the truth, that doesn't put all the ultimate questions to rest. Nor does it imply that I can fully understand this God, this mystery at the center of being. I am a mystical theist because despite my doubts and uncertainties, I have experienced firsthand the joy of that presence that rolls through all things. None of my words about God today, about my faith, would make sense to me if I had not had glimpses and intuitive understandings of the divine. If I had not stood under the stars, not just studying the heavens with my telescope, as I've been known to do, but also wrapped in awe at the wonder and the mystery of this radiant universe. If I had not been elated and even a little afraid, glad to the brink of fear, as Emerson put it, to feel the tug of what I call God calling me out of myself and into a transcendent sense of connection with all that is. I am a humanistically inclined theist because I embrace enlightenment ideals of political and religious freedom, broad liberal education, and the scientific method as a means of gaining understanding about the physical world. I am humanistic because I don't look to a parental, all-powerful, supernatural being for solutions to the human dilemmas and social problems that we face. Nor do I think that the goal of life is to get a one-way ticket to future celestial bliss. Heaven and hell are right here, right now, and the choice to create either rests squarely on human shoulders. I am a theist with pagan tendencies because I do not believe that the dominant religious traditions of our Western culture, the Judaic and Christian traditions, have an exclusive corner on truth. I derive much wisdom and inspiration from other religious traditions throughout the world as well. The great world religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Islam, Shintoism, Zen, Confucianism, and the numerous local religions of indigenous peoples, ancient and modern, from the ancient Celts and Polynesians to the modern Inuit and Hopis and Zulu, and to modern neo-pagan traditions as well. Whenever I travel in the continental U.S., in Hawaii, England, India, I enjoy very much learning about the indigenous peoples who populated the land originally, if you can say there's any original population, Africa, perhaps, and that's only the, the original origin. But in all the places that humans have migrated to out of Africa, they have created religious traditions of their own, some of them resonating with one another, some of them unique and different. I enjoy learning about those and speculating about the worldview these people hold or have held. To the fundamentalist Christian, all of these rich religious traditions are but the heresies of ignorant country folk, which is the essentially what the word pagan means. It means peasant or country person. To me, the pagan traditions contain fascinating cosmologies and gems of insight, and many are much more deeply connected to the earth than the dominant religions of the Western world have come to be. Today's Jews, Christians, and Western secularists can learn a great deal from the pagans. Finally, I am a theist with a love for Jesus. I could have said that I am a theist with a love for the Buddha, or for Lao Tzu, or for Muhammad, or any of a number of other great religious leaders. And I do feel a love for and a kinship with them as well. But there is a special place in my religious heart for Jesus, in part because I grew up with him. Although I now feel that it was a distorted picture of him that I received as a child. Also, I see in Jesus, as I now understand him, a model for ethical and loving human behavior. Not a model of godlike perfection, but a fully human model of selflessness, wisdom, devotion, love, and a willingness to sacrifice for what one holds dear. Jesus was neither the first nor the last to exhibit such traits, but his story, both historically and mythically, speaks to me profoundly about the human condition in all of its majesty and frailty, and about the need for and the ever-present possibility of forgiveness, redemption, hope, and symbolic rebirth. The atheistic philosopher Anthony Flew once said that with the advances of modern science, God has been, in his words, killed by inches, the death by a thousand qualifications. Well, my theism is qualified in the ways I describe today. But for me, the qualifications and modifications portray a God that is alive, a God that is the pulse beat of the natural world, a God that is not in conflict with, but is in harmony with, the discoveries of science. There is a wonderful old Hasidic creation story which tells how in the beginning the entire universe is a divine light, a divine energy that is contained within a single vessel, a container, sort of like the infinitesimal point that started the Big Bang was there in the beginning. At some point in this Hasidic story, the vessel begins to expand, and finally the divine energy bursts the vessel into millions and millions, billions and billions of shards. Each of those shards of this vessel contain a spark of the original divine light. Thus, every living being, all of creation, is a piece of that original vessel. Clearly, it calls to mind that Big Bang theory of physics, which says that all of what we see around us, all that exists in the universe, came from this singularity, this point of intense energy. We are all little packets of that original burst of energy, and each one of us carries within us the original spark of the divine. So we are all deeply connected fragments, all glistening shards of God. So this sums up how one Unitarian Universalist has pulled it all together, for now at least. How about you? Perhaps someday you might want to share here with your fellow Unitarian Universalists what your theology is, where you stand. I close with words from Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman. I hear and behold God in every object, yet understand God not in the least. Why should I wish to see God better than this day? I see something of God each hour of the 24, and each moment then. In the faces of men and women, I see God, and in my own face in the glass. I find letters from God dropped in the street, and every one is signed by God's name. And I will leave them where they are, for I know that wheresoever I go, others will punctually come forever and ever.